It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. In this segment, we are so excited to do a real Bible study over the radio airwaves. And our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here. Connie, thanks for joining us. And I know we're in the book of Mark in chapter 2. What are we talking about today?
Well, we are going to have some more teaching from Jesus. And we're going to have the Pharisees come and ask him a question about fasting. And he's going to give them a great answer. And then he's going to share two parables with them to indicate that God's kingdom is coming. And so it's a good lesson. Our verses today are Mark 2, verses 18 through 22. And I will read this portion of scripture, and then we'll talk through what Jesus is saying. It says, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to him, 'Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." Well, in this portion of scripture, we're going to find in chapter 2, we've got this third time where Jesus has some conflict or opposition with religious people of his day. And the question is, again, about fasting. We find out that John the Baptist disciples are fasting. And at this time, John is imprisoned. He's been put in the jail or into prison by Herod. And then also the Pharisees fasted. And interestingly enough, generally the Pharisees were very strict about their fasting. They would fast twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And so if they thought that was important and that's what they did, and they actually, I think, looked down on anyone who didn't choose to observe that. But what we find out from scripture is that the only place fasting is absolutely required is once a year for the Jews, and that's on the Day of Atonement. And that's when the high priest makes atonement for their sins. And the scripture from Leviticus tells us that they need to afflict themselves on that day. And that really means to fast and pray and turn to God, because that's the one time a year when the priest goes through a very elaborate ritual of putting sins on a scapegoat and sending that away from the camp. And it's an illustration of what Jesus ultimately would do. But again, fasting was not something that they were required to do other than on that day. Another aspect about fasting is that it was also associated with sorrow or mourning, and people would choose to do that whenever some tragedy or loss had happened to them. We think of Job. We think even of Esther, who called for a fast, and that was because a great danger and tragedy was going to happen to her people, and so they were going to fast and pray to the Lord. Ultimately, though, fasting had to do with depending upon God, of deciding to not partake in food and what would be an earthly pleasure, and just turn to God and depend on him. He's the one who provided manna in the wilderness, and he's the one who provides every good thing. But ultimately, we also find that Jesus eventually, in John, the Gospel of John, reveals himself as the bread of life. And so we feed on God and God's words rather than what would be human comfort. The Pharisees weren't actually thinking about it in those terms. And so they're doing it more in a legalistic way. Why aren't they fasting? And then Jesus has an answer for them. And that answer has to do with who he is and what he's doing right now. And what Jesus does is he calls himself the bridegroom. And in the Old Testament, God often referred to himself as the husband of the nation of Israel, or the bridegroom. And there's some passages that you can look up that are on the study guide, but it talks again about Jesus being that husband to his people, and he calls them the beloved. And then also, we know in the New Testament, Jesus is also the bridegroom, because when we come to Revelation, the end of the scripture, it talks about the marriage feast of the Lamb, and that's when the church will come and be radiant and pure as the bride of Christ, and he again is the bridegroom. So the bridegroom is here, and Jesus' point is that when the bridegroom is with you, And it's the, you know, he's teaching you and you're going with him. There's no need to fast because God is with you and it's not a time of sadness. Jesus does, however, say that when the bridegroom is taken away, that's when they will fast. And that's when definitely it was a time of sorrow for the disciples. One other thing we can notice from this passage is that Jesus says that, and when the bridegroom is taken away, the Greek actually means violently removed. And it's a hint that the cross is coming. And so already we're seeing that Jesus, the suffering servant, knows that he is going to the cross. And that's why he came. First hint, though, of what that's coming for, the people listening to him to get a sense something's going to happen. And then finally, Jesus explains a little bit more about what he's doing with this kingdom of God coming. And he gives the first of the first two of the four parables he gives us in the Gospel of Mark. And the first one, he says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. And it makes sense because if you have new cloth and it hasn't been shrunk, once it gets wet, then it shrinks and it's going to tear the old one. So you don't, you know, make a patch in that way. And then he also talks about the same thing. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. And the thing about new wine is it's not completely fermented. And so it's still going to expand some. And if you put it in an old brittle wineskin, that wineskin will split and everything will be lost and gone. Ultimately, though, what Jesus is really talking about is the kingdom of God is coming and a new era, a new way of doing things. The new covenant is coming. And so following the laws of the Old Testament aren't going to be the way people have a relationship with God anymore. It's going to be through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And so you can't patch the ceremonial laws of Judaism onto the new way of Jesus. It's not going to work. And that's, you know, we find that out throughout the rest of the New Testament that they needed to set aside the ways that they had worshiped God in the past. And in the new way of the living way of the Spirit, they were to be Jesus followers and live for him.
Connie, that was excellent. And it brings up all sorts of great things that Nancy and I are going to talk about in the next segment about this. And I just encourage you, ladies, go to the Bible Studies tab and download the notes. You can also download these separate recordings. You don't have to download the entire Naomi's Table program, but you can use these for around your own table and have some women's Bible studies and use these to further your understanding of who Jesus is and his nature, his character, and what he came to do. And I would thank you so much for joining us, Connie. We're going to take a break and more on this when we come back.